Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Origins of Efficiency by Brian Potter is a wide-angle exploration of how modern societies learn to do more with less and why that process has been uneven across industries and eras. Rather than treating efficiency as a timeless virtue, the book frames it as a historical achievement shaped by engineering constraints, energy systems, measurement tools, and institutional incentives. It highlights the practical pathways through which production became faster, safer, and cheaper, from standardizing parts and workflows to redesigning machines around throughput and reliability. Along the way, the book connects familiar ideas like economies of scale and productivity growth to the underlying physical and organizational realities that make them possible. Readers are guided to see efficiency not as a single breakthrough, but as an accumulating set of methods for reducing waste, coordinating complex work, and learning from data. The result is an accessible narrative about the roots of industrial progress and the trade-offs that come with optimizing systems for output, cost, or quality. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, efficiency as a historical invention, not a default state. A central theme is that efficiency is not a natural baseline that people simply discover by trying harder. It emerges when societies develop the knowledge and tools to identify waste, compare alternatives, and reliably reproduce better methods. In early production, variability in materials, skills, and local conditions made it difficult to standardize outcomes, so improvements often stayed artisanal and context-specific. As industrialization expanded, efficiency became something that could be pursued deliberately, problems were decomposed, steps were timed, and processes were redesigned. This shift required more than cleverness. It depended on measurement, accounting, and shared technical standards that allowed organizations to learn systematically. The book's historical lens also makes clear why efficiency can advance quickly in one domain while lagging in another. Some activities are constrained by physics, safety, or quality requirements, and some are constrained by coordination and incentives. By treating efficiency as a cumulative cultural and technical project, the discussion helps readers understand why productivity growth is sometimes explosive and sometimes stubbornly slow, and why debates about efficiency often disguise deeper disagreements about goals, values, and what should be optimized. Secondly, measurement, standardization, and the rise of repeatable work, efficiency improvements become scalable when work can be measured, compared, and repeated with minimal variation. The book emphasizes the quiet revolutions behind this idea: standardized parts, shared gauges and tolerances, process documentation, and the spread of metrology. Once outputs and inputs are defined consistently, it becomes possible to attribute performance differences to specific changes rather than guesswork. Standardization also enables specialization. When components and procedures are predictable, tasks can be divided, training becomes faster, and supply chains can coordinate without constant custom fitting. This creates a platform for continuous improvement because small changes can be tested and rolled out widely. The same logic extends to managerial tools. Cost accounting, scheduling methods, and performance metrics make it possible to see bottlenecks and trade-offs that are invisible in purely qualitative judgments. The topic also highlights attention. Measurement can drive improvement, but it can also narrow attention to what is easy to count. A focus on throughput might degrade durability or worker safety if those outcomes are not equally measured and rewarded. Understanding the origins of measurement culture clarifies both its power and its limits. Thirdly, energy, machines, and the physics of doing more with less. The book links efficiency to the changing ways humans harness energy and convert it into useful work. Productivity gains often follow improvements in prime movers, transmission systems, and the design of machines that reduce losses from friction, heat, and downtime. When energy becomes cheaper, more abundant, or more controllable, entire categories of production become feasible at scale. But the story is not simply about cheaper power. It is also about designing systems that align energy flows with the task, matching motor size to load, stabilizing operations, and reducing idle time through better maintenance and process flow. Reliability matters as much as raw output because frequent breakdowns destroy effective capacity. This perspective helps explain why certain industries surged with electrification, automation, and better materials, and why others remained labor-intensive until complementary innovations arrived. The physical framing also makes clear that efficiency gains can come from changing the product and process together, not just upgrading a machine. Lighter materials, modular designs, and simplified assembly reduce the energy and labor required per unit. By grounding efficiency in engineering realities, the book encourages readers to think in terms of constraints, losses, and system design rather than slogans about working smarter. Fourthly, organization, incentives, and the management of complex systems. Efficiency is shaped by how people coordinate, who captures the gains, and how decisions are made under uncertainty. The book highlights the organizational side of productivity, division of labor, hierarchical control, feedback loops, and the routines that turn one off, improvements into sustained performance. In many cases, technical capability existed before the organizational capacity to deploy it widely. Scaling a process requires training, supervision, quality control, procurement, and a culture that values experimentation. Incentives matter because efficiency often requires upfront investment and temporary disruption. If workers fear job loss from higher productivity, or if managers are rewarded for short-term metrics, organizations may resist changes that would improve long-term performance. The book's approach helps readers see efficiency as a negotiation among stakeholders with different priorities: output, safety, wages, market share, and resilience. It also suggests why some efficiency programs fail. Copying tools like time studies or lean practices without adapting them to context can create resentment and gaming of metrics. Effective efficiency efforts balance measurement with judgment, empower problem solving at the right level, and ensure that the benefits of improvement are visible and shared. Lastly, trade-offs, externalities, and the question of what counts as efficient. A mature view of efficiency recognizes that it is always defined relative to a chosen objective. The book explores how optimizing for one target can worsen outcomes elsewhere. Lower costs might increase waste if products become disposable. Higher throughput might erode quality, safety, or worker well-being. Global supply chains can be efficient in normal times but fragile under shocks, revealing a difference between efficiency and resilience. This topic encourages readers to ask efficient for whom and efficient over what time horizon. It also connects efficiency to externalities. Pollution, resource depletion, and community impacts may be excluded from internal cost calculations, creating the appearance of efficiency while shifting burdens to others. The historical frame shows that definitions of waste change as societies learn more about impacts and as regulations or norms evolve. That makes efficiency a moving target, not a final destination. The book's value here is to equip readers with a balanced toolkit, celebrate genuine improvements in productivity and living standards, while staying alert to hidden costs and misaligned incentives. Efficiency becomes a design problem with ethical and political dimensions, not merely a technical contest. In conclusion, this book is well suited to readers who like understanding how the modern world was built. Engineers, managers, economists, policy-curious readers, and anyone interested in the history of technology and productivity. It is also useful for entrepreneurs and operators who want a deeper framework for process improvement beyond trendy management slogans. By tracing efficiency to measurement, energy systems, standardization, and organizational design, the book can benefit a reader's life by sharpening how they diagnose problems and evaluate solutions. Instead of assuming that higher efficiency is always desirable, readers learn to identify constraints, anticipate second-order effects, and choose metrics that match real goals like safety, quality, and resilience. Compared to similar books that focus narrowly on business tactics or a single industrial era, this one stands out for treating efficiency as a broad, evolving phenomenon shaped by both engineering and institutions. That wider lens helps readers transfer insights across contexts, from factories and infrastructure to software and public services. If you want an accessible but serious guide to why some systems improve rapidly while others stagnate, and how trade-offs shape progress, it is a worthwhile purchase. If you would like to support Brian Potter, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.